days of you being the best golfer on this thing are long gone.
Wait. We've read you're a lot like Adam, Brittany, which before you freak out, let me explain.
It just feels good inside. Right.
Thank you for your honesty.
I love it.
Thank you for your honesty.
You do you. You do you, Brittany.
Yeah, I do.
3, 2, 1.
No, Mr. Gower.
See,
Mr.
there. Gower.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Stick and Hack Show, a sophisticated and brilliant look into the world of golf from a stick and a hack. Now, your hosts, Mike Ryan and Adam Grubb.
All right, everybody, welcome in. This is the Stick and Hack Show, quite possibly the greatest show in the free world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course, Stick and Hack. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan, the stick. Mike, hello, how are you?
I'm super duper, buddy. How are you doing?
Well, you're just another stick again. My God, I mean, I the guests that we're having, the days of you being the best golfer on this thing are long gone.
Way gone.
This is very exciting. This guest that's coming up here, she has had a storied career. She has had huge success young in age. And at this stage in her career, she is still as relevant as she was 15 years ago. Brittany Lincecum is on the program today, LPGA superstar, to talk with us about golf today, but also her career and some amazing stories of from Brittany Lincecum's career. We're excited to have her here. I think our second LPGA guest here just in the recent months.
Absolutely.
So Stick and Hack Show is starting to make a real name for ourselves in the LPGA, Mike. And I think it has a lot to do with you and your attitude.
Well, you know, it's my humor. It's my charm and humor and general wit.
Yeah, that's what people say when they describe you.
Yeah.
That's what they describe you as.
Exactly.
All right, let's first up here. The story is called The First Pitch. Mike, any list for greatest baseball pitchers of all time must include Nolan Ryan near the top. Among his myriad of records and feats, the man tossed 7 no-hitters in his career. The next closest guy on that list is named Koufax, and he only managed 4. There are a handful with 3 and a bunch with 2, but 7 no-hitters feels like a number that's safe in our lifetime. However, you only get one rookie year in baseball, and Ryan's was uneventful. It surely didn't forecast anything extraordinary to come. He wouldn't secure his first no-no until 1973. Still, there are rookie pitchers, Mike, that have captured lightning in a bottle during their first year in the bigs. 24, to be exact. 24 of the 314 Major League no-hitters were tossed by rookies, and one of those nearly perfect games was delivered by a guy named Chris Heston. On June 9th, 2015, Heston was a rookie with the San Fran Giants. They were in New York playing the Mets, and Chris struck out 11 in a 5-0 no-hit victory. His performance included 0 walks, but he did hit 3 guys, so he wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Chris also had a day at the plate grabbing his first RBI in the bigs. He'd earned MLB's National League Player of the Week award for that performance. As great as his work was, Chris and any other pitcher will tell you that it takes a team effort to secure a magical moment like that. The catcher, fielders, and certainly offense are all crucial to a successful no-hitter. But often, overlooked and underappreciated is the thing that sets the tone for the entire game. The ceremonial first pitch. An errant first pitch can leave some bad vibes on the diamond, but luckily for Chris and not so much for the hometown Mets, today's guest was that ceremonial pitcher, and she launched a strike all the way from the rubber. Whatever she left on the mound, Chris turned into a gem. Now, when today's guest isn't teeing up no hitters for major leaguers, she's teeing it up on the LPGA Tour, where she's won 8 times, including 2 majors, the 2009 and 2015 Chevron Championships. She's a Florida native who enjoys fishing, Texas Hold'em, and her boat's name is Taking Relief. She once caught a 400-pound fish, and her length off the tee has earned her the nickname Bam Bam. Folks, we're incredibly excited to welcome to the Stick and Hack Show, Brittany Lincecum. Brittany, hello, welcome in. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It is great to see you. Great to have you here on the show. So fishing, poker, golf, those are all sports that are fit for an introvert. Is that you?
I can never pick which one I am. I feel like you'd have to ask my friends and try to figure that out that way, but I it just depends on the moment and the situation, and I kind of adapt pretty easily.
But you're in the moment there. With golf, it's you. Now you got people around you. In poker, it's you. You got people around you, right? Fishing, the same thing. It just sounds like those kind of singular moment sports are what you love.
Absolutely. I obviously love golf. I just love having a good time and taking time off from golf and doing fun things. And I definitely have some fun hobbies.
Brittany, you started playing golf at the age of 9, but your first love was baseball. You know, why the switch from baseball to golf?
You know, I didn't realize throwing out a bad ceremonial first pitch could interrupt the whole entire game. So I'm really glad, you know, I got it. I had to throw it from the mound. My buddies were already, you know, on me about throwing it from the mound. So I'm glad I got it to the plate and didn't hurt the game. But, you know, so funny when I started playing golf and baseball when I was 9 or 10, my dad, you know, finally had to tell me, hey, girls don't turn pro in baseball. You're going to have to pick golf unless I wanted to try out another sport. So that's kind of how we went with golf. But I love baseball. I love going to games still. I think I played every position when I was younger, and I think it was great. You know, I love when kids these days play multiple sports, just trying to figure out, you know, what sports they're good at and using all their different muscles. So I love playing both growing up.
Absolutely. I think that's something that's lost in youth sports today is I think kids try and specialize them too young. I think if you can get kids playing multiple sports, it's huge for their development. Even once they do pick a sport that they want to be good at, I think it's huge for them. So.
Well, I think what's also fascinating is that you hear a lot of golfers, baseball players that turn into golfers, right? Baseball players that love golf. But a lot of the guys that I have played with in the past that were old baseball players, whether it be collegiate or even in high school, their hand-eye coordination is so solid and so strong that golf, they might not be technically savvy, but boy, they hit the ball a long way, or they just have, they understand the nuances of that impact because of baseball. Is that something that you can relate to?
Yeah, you know, it's I think so. I feel like the swings obviously are kind of similar, but not similar. So I think that's another reason why I had to give it up. But yeah, your eye-hand coordination, being able to hit the ball, obviously the golf ball is not moving, but it's a lot smaller. Those two definitely go hand in hand. So I think that's, I think it's helpful for sure.
I can't even imagine if you had to hit the ball while it was moving, Mike. No, it's like cricket. What the hell? The mental game of golf is something we talk a lot about here, Brittany, on the mm-hmm. Stick and Hack Show. And it's so important in not just amateur golf, but specifically in professional golf. And in fact, some of the women that you work with now have been on this show. Pia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott from Vision 54 have been on the program mm-hmm. talking about their program. In fact, I think I have... I have their book right here. This is it's unread, but I have it here. No, I'm just joking. I read it, and it's great. But why so important at this stage in your career to start looking at the mental side and the headspace and working with the likes of them?
You know, it's actually super funny. So back in 2009, when I won my first major, I had been talking to them weeks prior. Just the game didn't feel great. I just felt like I needed something, a change. I haven't taken a golf lesson since 2006. So I thought maybe going that route would maybe be better. So I talked to them before the major, and then I won the major. And then like the next day I was at their facility out in Phoenix, you know, working with them. So it was super funny. I just won a major and now I'm going to go work with some mental coaches. So, but they're great. You know, it's more... kind of how you think on the golf course, and it was easy for me to relate. I'm not super technical. I don't need a lot of instruction, and just with how they gave me, you know, you pick a thought, you pick a, you know, where the target you're going to hit it at, and then you just go and you do that. You don't, there's obviously a lot of things that especially amateur golfers, you know, goes through their mind. Is their grip okay? Is their swing okay? Yada, yada, yada. So they just kind of simple it for you, and you just kind of pick one little thing. And whether it's, you know, my things were, you know, concentrating on my breathing, slowing my breathing down, walking slower in between shots. I tend to walk really fast or get really fast, so I just kind of slow myself down. Or counting. I just would start to count, and whatever number I got to, it didn't matter. Just starting at one and just start counting and then trying to just slow myself down. So they've definitely been a big help for me for sure.
LPGA superstar Brittany Lincecum is the guest here on the Stick and Hack program.
We've read you're a lot like Adam, Brittany, which before no. you freak out, let me explain. You're not a huge fan of practice or rain sessions and the like. Is that right?
Yeah, Adam, we're definitely the same. You know, I feel like there's more than one way to do it. You know, you can watch Julie Inkster and she'll be out there hitting balls for 8 hours a day. Yeah. And that's how she needs to work on her game. Me, I mean, you'll see me maybe 40 minutes warming up before my round, maybe only 20 minutes actually of hitting balls and then chipping and putting. And that's pretty much it. You know, even if I have a bad day, I might hit five balls after Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm going to go play nine holes or go play 18 holes in the pro-am. And maybe on one of my off days, I might hit balls and putt for a combined hour. The driving range for me, I just am visual and I need to go out on the course. And even when I come play at home, I'll go on the golf course, maybe drop some balls behind trees or drop some balls in the rough or out of a bunker and just do my practice on the golf course. So when I say I don't practice, and I don't practice that much, let's be honest, but when I do go practice, it's on the golf course and I like to work on it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's I think that's super smart, Brittany. I really do. I think that's how I've lived my golf life. You and I have had different career paths with that philosophy, obviously, but nonetheless, it's still it's how I feel. It seems like a lot. You know,
he doesn't even hit balls. He does. Don't let him fool you. Even before a round, he's not hit balls. He's rolling up and trunk slamming and then coming out on the first tee.
I'm all of a sudden going to learn how to play golf 10 minutes before I tee off? Absolutely not. Speaking of the pro-ams, I read this in a feature about you, out driving. I mean, you're one of the longest hitters on the LPGA, but out driving some of the men and most of the men in some of these programs and some of these times that you play, there's always that kind of that cool moment where, you know, the bravado and the guys up there and okay, we got Brittany, oh, this will be fun. You know, she's just super nice. And expecting you 230, 245, which is, I would be happy as hell with. But you are hitting 270, 280, past them. Is that still exciting for you and still kind of a fun little like, hey, all right, I'll see you up here there, Chief.
Yeah. You know, it was definitely more fun back in the day when I hit it even further and I was younger. You know, you hit the nail right on the head, you know, you get to the tee, the guys think you're going to hit it like 220 and then you blow it by them and you definitely kind of look over and when you pass their ball to go to your ball and just kind of, you know, it just feels good inside.
Yeah. Right. Thank you for your honesty.
I love it.
Thank you for your honesty.
I love it.
But yeah, it's super fun. I've always hit it far. I grew up playing with my brothers, two older brothers and my dad. They never let me play the red tees. So I always had to play back with them. And I actually only hit a 3-wood when I was younger. I didn't like the driver. Yeah. So I had to learn how to hit it far back then. And it's really helped today. I love hitting it far. And I love seeing kids, you know, hit it as far as they can.
Yeah, it's and the game has changed, right? The speed and distance and for the fans, for the players, and for what we talk about week in and week out in the golf world, it is about the speed and the distance and the game itself. So it doesn't sound like you've lost a big step there. Now you talked about being younger and hitting it further, but you're still in that same zone you've been in for years, and it's awesome and fun to see. Speaking of the LPGA and kind of golf today, 2021 has been quite a year for your league, for the LPGA. You have superstars that are constantly in the top 10 every single week. You have some incredible talent and personalities and some young talent coming up here in this league. And also a lot of visual representation of the league and the association throughout the year in sports with the hoodies and with a lot of support from male athletes and other sports around the country. It's been a very exciting year for the LPGA, but there's also been some controversy and some weirdness when it comes to coverage and when it comes to what certain things are being covered and what they're not. And at some point streams and coverage just stops. A couple weeks ago, there was a big thing with Nelly and with Lexi, where nobody saw it. It was not even shown. It was the stream cut off. And does that bother you? And what are your thoughts on that in today's space?
Yeah, 100%. You know, obviously I was playing, so I don't get to see these things, but I do, you know, read tweets. You know, Lisa Cornwall is a great ambassador for women's golf and promoting us. And I did see her tweets about the same situation. And it just hurts. It just stinks, you know. We're trying to do so many good things. We're getting more network TV. Our purses are increasing. You know, we're getting new events, all these wonderful things. And then for some reason, it's still, well, I didn't see you on TV, or I didn't see the final group, or I didn't see who won the tournament. You know, just little things like that, that it's so crazy. And it's hard to compare it to the men. I mean, could you imagine a PGA Tour event going into extra holes and then playing whatever show was supposed to be on after? No, they're going to go tape right over it or keep playing right over it and keep showing them. So it definitely hurts, you know, that they do that to us. I really would like to get to the bottom of like where it's coming from or why it's happening and try to understand more. I feel like that might be something I start doing this off season to figure out like how we make it better. You know, we're trying to do, we have a new commissioner. She's asking us all the time, what can I do? How do we make the tour better? And we're moving in the right direction and we just want to keep moving in the right direction. And something is amiss with TV for sure. So, you know, hopefully I can, you know, we can start the conversation and try to figure it out because it's, we deserve better. And it's pretty crappy.
Yeah. It blows my mind that, the coverage for women's golf, just how much of a backseat it takes sometimes. And it drives me insane because it's really good golf. It's exciting golf. It's fun to watch. And when you see some of the things that happen with coverage sometimes week to week, it blows my mind because I know for a fact that if some of the things that happen with women's golf coverage happened with men's golf, that it would be, there'd be an implosion. Someone would lose. Yes. Everyone would lose their minds.
Uproar.
Yeah. And I think it's just people that are fans of golf have to lose their minds a little more about it. I don't know. But yeah, it blows my mind for sure.
I think where the issue is, truthfully, is that it has become a pattern. If this happened one time because somebody didn't plan ahead of an extra hole playoff and that the ice skating was going to be on afterwards, okay, fine. But there isn't a network there that doesn't own multiple other platforms and stations that they can move to rather quickly. NBC being the main one, they've got 38 different channels they could move to if they wanted to. Now I know you got broadcast rights, you've got contracts, you've got licensing, you've got all that stuff. I get that. I do. But at the end of the day, what is more important? Having watching the end of whatever sport it is you're watching, and seeing this incredible golf. I mean, yeah, a couple weeks ago, that finish where Nelly had a triple bogey, and then Lexi came in and was leading, and then missed a four footer, and then sent it to a playoff, and then it was that. You don't get that in the PGA, and if you did, and they stopped the stream and just said, "Yeah, you can read about it in the USA Today in your newspaper," right? It would never happen. It would never happen. So why is it happening? And I think you're getting to the bottom of it. Hopefully there's a group getting to the bottom of it, but I hope that it's the TV broadcast and the brass in these networks that get to the bottom of it first, because otherwise that they're compounding the issue if they don't see it. All right. Well, thank you for giving us your thoughts on that. Appreciate it very much.
Brittany, one thing, switching gears a little bit. You know, I know you see golf as a feel game and you don't concentrate so much on the technical aspects. Do you feel that allows you to enjoy the game more, or is that just how your brain works?
You know, I think it's just how I work. You know, I've always been like that. Like I said, I stopped taking lessons in 2006, which leading up to that, they were super valuable. I got to a place where, you know, I felt like I just couldn't get any better than what I was doing. So I just was like, okay, you know, I'll try it on my own and see what happens. And that was obviously a long time ago. So now just my caddy or even my dad travels to a lot of events. He's been out there with me my whole career. So between those two, they kind of will, you know, I only hit it left. So it's not really that big of a fix. So I just like being more feel, you know, I can kind of feel my way around the golf course and what I need to do. And yeah, I think that's just how I work, how my brain works, how I see it. You know, I don't hit a fade. I don't hit a cut unless there's a tree in front of me. But there again, you know, I can see it. I can feel it. I know what I need to do. So, yeah, I think it's different for everybody. And it's just cool to see how your brain and how everyone handles situations differently. It's really cool.
It's, you know, it's funny. I feel like the concept of feel in golf is something that's lost a lot and that isn't taught as much anymore. I think everyone is extremely focused on technique and ball speed and all this, you know, all these metrics that they're looking at. I feel like if you taught feel a little more or understanding feel of the game, I just think there'd be a lot of people that would enjoy the game a little bit more. Not just at the pro level, but I think across the board, just amateurs all over the place. It's so focused on the technical aspects sometimes that feel gets lost.
Yeah, when you see fans over on the sidelines, you know, working on their swing, it's so funny because obviously they're just watching what we're doing and trying to figure it out, which is wonderful. But, you know, maybe that's the person that needs to be a little bit more feel. And
could you
not so technical.
Is there a sport in America where you would be watching and then just working out your own how to throw a football in the stands or catch a base? No, nobody. There's no sport in America where you're practicing that sport while you're watching it. What a bunch of weirdos golf fans are. Honest to God. All right, let's. I had my last question, but I'm gonna kind of tweak it a little bit here. The question was, if you could do it all over again, what would you change? But I'm going to ask you this. If you could do it all over again, would you do 2015 all over again? Because that seemed to be your biggest year, your biggest money year. You won a major. You made 22 of 26 cuts or 23 of 26 cuts. You had just that year. That was your kind of the big year, right? Would you do that year over again if you could? Or are you happy with how... Now, I know, obviously, let's just pretend you have a genie and you can go through that, blah, 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 right? I know you're going to give me the answer. Oh, no, everything that I've done has led me to this and blah, blah. I get that. But if you could,
no.
Would you do it?
Absolutely. making all the money that I made that year and playing well. You know, this is my 17th year, and I just every year I say I just want to be more consistent. I want to be like Annika Sorenstam or Lorena Ochoa. Those girls are in the top 10 every week. Now you can relate. Nelly Korda, Jin Young Ko, literally in the top 10, like every single week. They have a chance to win every single week, and I just don't understand how they do it. I cannot figure it out. You know, obviously I don't practice like they do, so maybe that has something to do with it. But
You do you, Brittany.
I do. Maybe it's too much fishing, Texas Hold'em, I'm not sure. Now it's a two-year-old. But yeah, it's, you know, obviously everything I've done has led me where I am. 17 years on the LPGA Tour is pretty fantastic. I joked when I was younger, if I could get to 10 years, I would think that was just like an amazing feat, and now 17. So definitely, you know, excited where I am. You know, this year has been a bummer. The last 2 years really with the whole COVID thing. Hopefully 2022 is clear and we can play regular events, and you know, Asia will come back, and just gonna remember they passed away a few months ago, so it's just I had to take weeks off. It's just been a weird year, so you know, hopefully we can get back to it and start figuring out, you know, how to be more consistent and winning like those girls. But each year has been awesome, and I'm super blessed, so I love it.
Well, we appreciate your time, Brittany, here and taking us through that. And you are the epitome of a stick and hack type person. You are an incredible golfer, but you have a hack mentality, and that's cool. And we that's what we're trying to grow and bring more people like that. Hey, you can go be awesome at golf, but you don't have to be weird about it. And it sounds like that's your deal. And we're proud to have you on the program, Brittany. We're gonna let you. We're gonna take a break here. We'll let you go check on your kid. We'll come back in just a second here with a game. You're gonna stick around and play sticker hack with us. Yes,
absolutely. My favorite part of the show. Let's go.
All right, we'll be back in a second. This is the Stick and Hack program, back after this.
Need some gear to rep your favorite golf brand? Visit the Stick and Hack shop to explore our curated collection of exclusive merchandise. With a variety of styles of hats, shirts, and outerwear, we've got something for every golfer. Plus, shop our unique assortment of accessories, including putter covers, foam caddies, and more. Be sure to fill out our weekly cash grab survey to get a chance to win $25 to use at the shop. Visit the Stick and Hack shop today to get what you need to look your best on and off the course.
All right, we're back here at the Stick and Hack Show. I'm Adam, that's Mike, and we're with Brittany Lincecum here on the program. And it is now time, Brittany, for I think America's favorite, which is the game Stick or Hack. All right?
Perfect.
All right, so I'm going to say the topic is Christmas traditions.
Oh.
Okay, so Stick or Hack, Christmas traditions. I'm going to say it, and then you're going to say if it's Stick or Hack, Mike, and then myself. And then if we need to have some sort of debate, we can. Now, Damon Hack, who was on the program a while ago, had a very specific reason for every one of his answers for in or out. We've had some people that have gone really pontificated on their reasoning here. You can do whatever you want. But at the end of the day, all we really need is the answer Stick or Hack.
Okay? Perfect.
All right, here we go. Stick or Hack, Christmas traditions. On the Stick and Hack Show, having a white Christmas, Stick or Hack?
Hack.
Well, you're from Florida, so of course.
I'm going to go with Hack too. I think it's overrated.
I'm going to go with Stick for the morning, and then
all right, fine.
For the morning, that's fun. Okay. When you have kids. It's a good deal. Stick or Hack, eggnog.
Ew. Stick.
Yeah, wow. I'm going Stick, especially if you have a little bourbon in it.
definitely bourbon in it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. So I'll say stick as well, just because you talked me into it with the bourbon. All right, stick or hack? It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I'm gonna go with stick.
Mike,
I'm going with hack just because I know how much Adam wants to do his Jimmy Stewart impression.
Careful, right? I'm not doing Jimmy Stewart.
T-minus 3, 2, 1.
No, Mr. Gower.
See,
Mr.
There. Gower.
See, I do it. See.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's stick, but beyond all sticks, It's a Wonderful Life. Christmas tradition. There's no doubt about it. Brittany Lipscomb is guest here. We're playing Stick or Hack. Christmas traditions. Elf on a Shelf.
Love Elf on a Shelf. I'm going to go stick.
I'm stick on Elf on a Shelf.
Hack.
Yeah. I haven't tried it yet, though, so I'm going to say I love it now, but I might not.
We're going to hate it. You have a 2-year-old. You're going to hate it in a couple years because every single night you're going to go. You're going to go. Oh my God! Did you move the damn elf? That's what's going to happen, and you're going to get more creative until the thing is on fire on a skateboard rolling down your hallway. That's what's happening.
What I hear.
But I mean, maybe it'll be different.
I'm going to give it like until she's 5.
All right, fine. Sticker hack Christmas traditions: ugly Christmas sweaters.
Hack.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike. Hack. Those hack. Are played out at this point.
Played out.
They've
jumped the shark.
Yeah, they've jumped the shark. Worst. Sure.
The worst. The worst. All right, this is a weird one. Christmas tradition, stick or hack, candy canes.
Ooh, I'm like 50-50. I'm going to go hack.
I'm going to go stick on candy canes. I enjoy a candy cane during the holiday season.
Yeah. I like them, but I only eat like one.
Yes. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'll eat one and then I'm done, but.
Candy cane the same as peppermint?
I do enjoy it.
Can I say candy cane's the same as peppermint? Because I love peppermint at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Stick. Stick. Christmas cards. Stick or hack? Christmas traditions.
I need to be stick, but I'm going to say hack.
Yep. Mike?
Yeah, I'm going with hack because I just feel I get a million of them in the mail and then I don't send them out.
What do
so
you do with them?
Just, same.
All it does is make me feel like I've failed all of my friends.
Yep.
Well, what do you do with them? You put them on you that just, stupid
you, they
board.
They sit there for 3 weeks and then you throw them in the trash.
They sit on the stupid board and you're like, oh, that's the same. What a cute family that I already know. I know the family. Now, the
weird, what we have Facebook for.
Exactly.
Right. That's right. Why we have social media. What are we doing? Why do you have to send me a card? Now, and the weird ones are those that send you the long letter explaining how their year went.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm good.
Chief. Also don't need that. Yeah, I don't need the family newsletter.
I don't need to know that Bryson, pass on that. Bryson got a 1400 on his SATs. Nobody cares. Sticker hack Christmas traditions, department store Santa.
Oh, I feel like that's stick because the kids, you know, they love him. I don't know. I have a kid, so I feel like I got to do that.
But here the key word, department store Santa, not Santa in general. Santa in general.
Is he the one that smells like booze and cigarettes?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going hack on department store Santa.
Department.
Maybe it's like a nice store, like a Kohl's.
Yeah. Know. And then you have some guy named Barry who also is a mail carrier in his day job. And then they're drinking department store Santa.
They're drinking the eggnog.
Hack. All right, last one, sticker hack, Christmas traditions. Brittany Lincecum, fruitcake.
Hack.
Yeah, not even a question. Yeah, not even a question. Back. Look how quickly she answered that, Mike. Yeah.
Completely hack.
Hack. Hack. And you know who would send out the fruitcakes and think it was a stick? You know who I'm talking about, Mike?
I do.
Producer Shane.
Producer Shane.
Sure. Yeah. Aww. Yeah.
No, Brittany, producer Shane would send out fruitcake as a like, hey, and he'd be really excited about it.
He'd have like a little cutout of his little smiling head. Like
he would. He would put you're exactly right, Mike. He'd put a smiling cutout of his head on top of a fruitcake and hand it to you and then do this. Yeah. Do some little weird dance move and say, here's your fruitcake, buddy. Producer Shane.
It's like those jib jabs.
Yes, jib jab. Shane, producer Shane is a real life jib jab.
Like
he is.
No truer words ever been spoken. Brittany Lincecum, the guest here on Stick and Hack. Brittany, what an incredible career you've had, and there's still much more to come. We love watching you out there. Best of luck and continued success out there in the LPGA. And we hope for everyone's sake, we can get some things figured out over there on your side because it needs to be. So, Brittany, again, thank you for the time. Mike, great show. Appreciate it very much. This has been the Stick and Hack Show.
Thanks, buddy.
Quite possibly the greatest show in the world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. You can find Brittany at Twitter at Brittany1Golf. That's the numeral one. And her website, Brittany1Golf, Brittany1Golf.com is her site. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a great, great winter, and we'll see you next season on the LPGA.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brittany.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Peace out, guys.
Okay, we're done. This has been the Stick and Hack Show. Go to stickandhack.com to become a free member of the world's greatest golf club without the course.